Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. May we begin to prepare our hearts for worship by singing the refrain. Would you please look at the end of the pews and sign your name to the register? If you are a visitor, please indicate to the folks on your pew that you are, because we want to speak to you and welcome you to Main Street today. First, we'd like to have Ann Drake give a report from the women's retreat yesterday. Ann?
Thank you. I want to tell you, so many of you saw this flyer in your bulletin the last several weeks. And if you didn't act on it, and so many women here did not, I want to tell you, you missed a wonderful weekend. We started on Friday afternoon. In the late afternoon, had an afternoon session and then supper and broke up. And then we started again on Saturday morning and went all day. And our own Margaret Crooks, thank you. Knew I should have had notes. Our own Margaret Crooks has been the one who has dreamed about this and have brought this to fruition. We had the Reverend Susan Leonard Ray, who is the pastor at Advent Methodist Church in Simpsonville. And she was with us and led us in our retreat this weekend. And I want to tell you, it was one of the most fascinating times for us women in the church. And we had representatives or women from two other churches that became really bonded and knew each other, explored the Word of God together and our own lives. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. So the next time the opportunity comes around, women, don't turn it down. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. Main Street is continuing to stay a very busy, active church. I'd like to call to your attention several events that are going to be taking place in the next couple of days. The Sweetheart Banquet for Friday the 13th will be at 7 o'clock here at the church. We're going to have a band. We're going to have good food. So make a date with your sweetheart and bring them to the banquet. The gathering on Wednesday has three different activities that you can participate in. One is a discussion of the book, The Shack. And you know that that has been a bestseller, and it is a mainstay of the talk shows. Do come and share your opinions of the book, or be stimulated to go get a copy of the book for yourself. Also, the Prayer Shawl Ministry will be meeting to work together, and different religions will be a topic of another session. So don't forget the gathering this week. Parents of youth, remember that you need to send your money for the gathering this week. You noticed that in the newsletter that went out this week. And finally, the Finance Committee will be meeting on Tuesday at 5 o'clock in the library. That's a very important committee that has a lot of work that needs to be done. So if you're on the Finance Committee, please come. Now, let us continue with our worship.
Please stand for the call to worship. Worship God who is from everlasting to everlasting. The God of creation does not faint or grow weary. How good it is to sinners to our God. How expansive is God's understanding of us. The whole universe is subject to God's power. Creation continues as the universe expands. God rules all time, space, yet cares about us. God is pleased with no steadfast love. Sing to God with great thanksgiving. Praise God with the best you have to offer. We lift our eyes to see God's wonders. We open our ears to receive God's message.
Thank you.
powerful God, before whom we are as nothing. We dare to approach you because you assure us that we are not like mere grasshoppers to you. Our individual potential is not hidden from you, and the faithfulness of your church is important. We have gathered with great expectation, seeking to have our strength renewed and our hope restored. Make yourself known among us as we unite in your praise. Amen.
The Old Testament reading today comes from Isaiah. The Judeans in exile have a good reason to be hopeful. The one who will bring them to freedom is the God who created the world, the God who subdues the rulers of the earth and gives strength to those who are weary. Isaiah 40:21-31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out like heavens like a curtain, and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught, and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows upon them, and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? Who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty power. No, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, and the creator of the heavens and earth. He does not grow faint or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary. The young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The ellipsal reading today comes from the first book of Corinthians. God entrusted Paul with the responsibility of bringing the gospel to diverse people. So the focus of Paul's ministry is not his own rights or privileges as an apostle, but the privilege of serving God by freely sharing the good news of Christ to others. 1 Corinthians 9:16-23. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no grounds for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me, and woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a commission. What then is my reward? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so that as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews I become as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I become as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I may win those under the law. To those outside the law I become as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I become weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessing. This is the word of the Lord.
As we prepare for our prayer time, I want to lift up to you some concerns. Please be in prayer for the friends and family of Ann Rogers, who passed away this past week, is being buried in Marion, South Carolina today. The friends and family of Ray Bowick, and also our hospitalist, Meredith Driver Edwards, is still in serious condition in St. Francis in Greenville. Miriam Aylwine at home, Billy Tunstall at home. My uncle Archie, I found out last night, is in the hospital in Easley. Please pray for him. Allison Perrin has been in and out of the hospital and is here today. Amy Gregory Young, please continue to be in prayer for her and her treatments. And John Tidwell did suffer a heart attack a week before last, and we went to pick him up this morning for breakfast, but he didn't feel up to coming. So please continue to pray for John as he recovers. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we know the prayer is wrong to pray thanks to you for being better than others. We are not better. Our very acceptance of your love is based on knowing our great need of your forgiveness and grace, our need of you and of each other. We thank you for drawing us into humility and repentance and faith in you. And we thank you also for drawing us into service to others. And now, Lord, we pray that you do more than accept us, more than love and forgive us. Use us to care for others. Use all that we have and all that we are, and even our wisdom gained from pain, to invite those sitting in darkness and chaos and turmoil into the light and love of God. Grow in us the desire to live out our faith more openly. Grow in us the desire to be great in the ways Jesus was great, by serving in humility in your name. And remind us that what we have is not a result of our cleverness or for choosing the right parents and country and time to be born in. We are what you have given us. Now make us more willing to become what you intend, agents of your will and an outpost of your kingdom. We trust you. Help us be more trustworthy. We love you and accept your love. Help us be more loving. We thank you for the means to make a living in the surplus beyond. Help us be more generous and unafraid to give sacrificially. Lord, do not leave us satisfied with a faith that cost us nothing. Give us to grow beyond these walls and beyond our comfort zones and into your service fully and faithfully. And in all humility, praise you for the honor and opportunity to have lives with meaning beyond ourselves. And now, Lord, we do pray our private prayers, our silent prayers in our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. For we do pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we will continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
Thank you, God, for showing us a better way to live than we are able to devise for ourselves. Thank you for reaching out to win our hearts. Thank you for Jesus Christ, for the ministry that extended your love to the least and the lost, and for offering wholeness to the sick and the brokenhearted. In gratitude, we dedicate this offering. Amen. At this time, we invite all children down front for children's time.
Good morning, boys and girls. How y'all doing this morning? There's a lot of people in the Bible that that remind me of good Boy Scouts, and because part of in Boy Scouts, the Scout Oath part is a promise to help other people at all times, and our Scout slogan is "Do a good turn daily." And an example I find in the Bible that reminds me so much of how Boy Scouts do is in the parable of the Good Samaritan, and that's in Luke chapter 10, verse 30 through 37. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for an extra expense you may have.' Which of these do you think was a neighbor of the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." All right, as you guys can see in this story, there was a man that was badly hurt, and some people came his way and some people did not. But only the Good Samaritan stopped and helped. Just remember next time any you see anybody that needs help, just remember this story. All right, let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this great day, and thank you for the many blessings you bestow upon us. And thank you for Boy Scouts, Lord, as it provides us examples of the way we should live in life, Lord, and reminds us how we should treat other people. And I please ask that you will help us remember that whenever we see people on the streets. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Thank you. Please remain standing as we affirm our faith with the Apostle Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his own Son, our Lord, we conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and Mary. And the third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and ascended on the right hand God Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of bodies, and the life everlasting.
I'm not going to have the gospel reading now because I'm not preaching from the gospel. I'll be preaching from 1 Corinthians 9, 16 through 23 that you've already heard Rakim read, but I'm going to read just the last part again so it'll be fresh in our minds. I'm not going to read the first part of that reading because it's all about how Paul says, I could ask for a salary from you, Corinthians, for preaching you the gospel, but I'm not going to. So he was refusing his salary as a preacher, and I'm not going to be preaching on that. Let me preach on the second part. And some people think that Paul sounds a little bit like a hypocrite here, but I want you to listen carefully and we will talk about this some more. He says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all that I might win the more. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being without law toward God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now today we will ease on into the Corinthians text, but I'm going to talk first about the power of stories and how they draw us in and tell us deep truths in just a few words. And the first story I want to share is from Benjamin Franklin. He describes in his autobiography a program that he designed for himself for self-improvement. He created a table of all the things he considered virtues, and sort of like a scout list of merit badges, he wanted to cultivate and work on one virtue at a time, and then when he got that one, go to the next. But he tells in his autobiography that he made one fatal mistake in his plan to become perfect in every virtue. He left humility for last. And he wrote that by the time he got to humility, he was already so near perfection in every other area that humility was impossible. Now, you've heard that brief story. That story, true story, tells us more about Ben Franklin's wit and personality than a great many textbooks and the information about how tall and how wide and how much he weighed, more than that could ever do. And we have a bunch of scouts here today, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, and it reminds me of how excited that I used to get every month when Boys Life magazine came. The very first thing that I would do was turn to the back, and I think I was told this morning, it's Scouts in Action. but I used to call it the hero of the month story. Actual stories about how scouts used their training and courage and concern for others to save a life, or sometimes to survive a blizzard, or rescue a drowning victim, or pull someone from a fire, or apply first aid until help arrived. I love those stories. All the scout oaths in the world were just words, but when I read those stories, I understood what it meant to be prepared and to have courage and concern for others. What I called it, the hero of the month stories taught me more about scouting as a matter of character than any merit badge ever could. I would imagine, as I looked at those cartoon versions of real occasions, I would imagine that I was there and doing what they did. And I wanted to be like that boy in the story. I wanted to aspire to courageous action on behalf of others. Now, I could use words and creeds to describe what a Christian is or is not, but stories speak more directly. And I want to share a story that I think, unfortunately, shows what a Christian congregation should not be. Fred Craddock, who used to teach at Emory in Atlanta, he tells this story. He said, I preached a four-night sermon series in a church in Atlanta, a nice big church with a good crowd, more people than I'm used to. And there was a moment in the service when the pastor said, we'll now have our moments of fellowship and greet each other in Christian love. And he said, you never saw so much hugging and kissing and carrying on in your life. People were going across the sanctuary, up and down the aisles, grabbing and hugging. Somebody, he said, even came up to him in the pulpit and gave him a great big hug. He said it was really something. And finally, the pastor would have to say, all right, hold it, calm down, we've got to get back to worship. All four nights it was like that. And on the last night, he and his wife, the pastor, took out Fred Craddock and his wife for coffee. And the pastor asked, did you see what happened when we had our time of sharing? Have you ever seen such a family church? Have you ever seen such love in your life in a church? And my wife said, yeah, I have. And he said, what do you mean? What's wrong? She said, well, I was there for all four of our services, and no one ever spoke to me. And then the pastor had an answer, which wasn't an answer. He said, well, that was because they didn't know who you were. And that's precisely not the point. That story tells me something, makes me feel something I have felt in churches before, and makes me cringe because I have been that person ignored and because I have been the person doing the ignoring. That is not what a Christian church should be like, and that story illustrates deeply. I read just a moment ago those last few verses that might confuse you, the story, the scripture from Paul writing to the Corinthians. And people do misunderstand that text from Paul where he says, you know, they think that he sounds like a flaming hypocrite. So to the Jews, I'll be a Jew, and to the Gentiles, I'll be a Gentile, to the weak, I'll be weak. I'll become all things to all people that I might by all means save some. They say, and I have heard it said to me, that it sounds like Paul is a hypocrite, but it is not hypocrisy. It is about who he is talking to. What if you, members of Main Street, what if you had a time machine and went back to first century Corinth, a city filled with different sorts of idol worship and where Christians were a distinct minority? What if you spelled out to a bunch of those first century idol worshiping Corinthians in grand detail from your understanding how the Old Testament pointed to a Messiah and then said, ta-da, and it was Jesus? They would stare blankly. I bet they would just stare blankly at you and say, and who are these people called Jews, and who are the people called Gentiles, and what is Scripture, and who was Isaiah, and what is a Messiah for, and what does any of this have to do with me? We, members, know so much background story, and it helps us understand the big story of the gospel. The gospel is a story about how God identified with humans and entered our world where sin and selfishness and violence rule. Just read the paper.
And the God who made it all is largely ignored. It is a story which illustrates all that I'm trying to say. Jesus was holy and devout and grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And Jesus noticed, paid attention to, and healed and forgave, and ate with sinners and touched lepers, the untouchables. He was outrageously compassionate toward the outcast, and we remember all the encounters he had with those snippy, legalistic, and judgmental Pharisees, and how that angered Jesus to the core that they had redefined the Jewish faith. And all these stories, and remember the woman at the well in Samaria, a double outcast, or the woman caught in the very act of adultery, just about to be stoned, and how he intervened. Or the healing of the blind Bartimaeus, who called out from the side of the road as Jesus was traveling by. And he called out, and he called out. And the disciples of Jesus said, "Be quiet." But Jesus went by the disciples who were trying to hush him. And he stopped, and he had pity on him, and he healed him. And all these stories, we learn more about Jesus than any number of theology courses that we could ever suffer through. The encounters, the arguments, the injustice of the cross, the tendency to misuse power in religious and government authorities. All these things we learn in Jesus' story, the big story of the gospel. And all these things we learn over and over, if we pay attention, in our own lives. Do you see? God entered our history to tell his story, and we live out that encounter over and over. Sometimes we are those casting stones, and sometimes we are those helpless in the ditch, or sometimes we are the one doing the helping. And sometimes we are caught red-handed and cry out for mercy. And sometimes we lay our hands on the altar and pray to ourselves, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men." Always, Jesus' story, his story is intertwining with ours. Churches which are heavy on theology and weak on hands-on noticing other people, that worries me. There is no story in the dry, dusty words of theology. Yes, it is good to have theological study after faith, not before. Stories we can relate to, enter into, and more than theology, stories we can feel for the characters. We can identify with one or another of them. And then there are all those words that I learned in seminary at Duke, which I never get a chance to use. And I will share them with you to show how useless they are now. Without looking anything up, these are off the top of my head, words I just don't get to use. There's eschatology, epistemology, salvific acts, polemics, apocalyptic, kerygma, hapax legomena, homoousios, homoiousios, which is altogether different, and trinitarian modalities. Folks, if someone asked me how I know the gospel is true, I would not use any of that. Because those are vocabulary words, not stories you can enter into and carry home with you and live into yourself. In fact, if someone asked me, I would probably begin with, "I had a grandmother we called Meemaw, who used to pray with me at night. And she loved me no matter what. And she struggled openly with her racism that she had grown up with until she overcame it. And she lived her faith out loud. And her struggle was done with us openly and honestly. And it made me wonder, as I saw her grow, a person already of advanced age, made me wonder, who is this God she is dancing with all her life? And how can I know him? And where might he take me?" And I might also tell someone about my uncle who ran away from home as a teenager, and how he used to drink, and how he used to fight, and how he used to gamble. But then after the war, World War II and Korea, he came to know Jesus and intertwined his story with the gospel story. And now his old life, which I've only just heard about, seems to me to be stories about someone else, someone I have never met. The gospel gave him a new life. The gospel made him a hero in his genuine concern for others, his generous giving to church and missions, his life which preaches all by itself compassion and grace.
It was later in life that the story of the gospel grabbed him. And for some of us, it sort of sinks in gradually and then grabs us all at once when we understand it is a story about God coming to me. Not some far-off distant piece of history, but coming to me now. Jesus' life is one thing, and it is very instructive, and his teaching is magnificent. And his death revealed what kind of world we live in and what kind of people wield power in it and what they do when power is threatened. But beyond all that part of the story, there is the resurrection. And that means not just long, long ago, but right here and right now, we proclaim that God is still present and searching. And as in the prodigal son story, waiting with open arms like a father looking down the road for the son to return. And it's a story about how he comforts us with his Holy Spirit and walks along with us in the valley of the shadow of death. We are never alone. We are not alone. Jesus did not stay dead. We have hope too. But you know, if I were in Paul's shoes in Corinth, I would have to find some story, some way to make all this make sense in a foreign land to a people who had no background with the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob who expected a Messiah. If Paul told the Corinthians, Jesus died for your sins, it would have no meaning at all. And even today, so many people, it has no meaning at all. You have to start somewhere else, somewhere nearer the beginning. And it might sound like, and I do not diminish it by starting this way. It might sound like once upon a time, and then people draw in and they listen. It might say once upon a time. And I think that is what Paul is saying here. I will be what I have to be to relate the gospel. I will start where I have to start. I will frame it as I must to speak it to the heart of strangers and those who know nothing of the God I speak of. And this is not hypocrisy. This is extreme love and caring and a determination to share the gospel story. Once upon a time, there was nothing, and God created all there is and sent forth prophets and laws to live by. The people rejected God and God's laws and God's prophets, and finally God sent his son, and they killed him. But God's love and God's determination to show his love could not die. God then sent his spirit to love within and change those who accepted his love and make them into new people with a new capacity to love and forgive and care for others. And the 10 laws and the teaching of God's son all boil down to the same. Love God with your whole heart and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do this and you do well. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can do this and you can live with God here and forever. That's the big story. Sin and death cannot win out. And yet, I once knew a preacher who read the entire Bible and didn't get that story. He read the Bible from an extreme sort of theology, and he said he found that theology a sort of a double predestination on every page. Not hope, but that theology. And he said that, I think, to make me mad. And it worked. It made me mad. But when I think back on it, it's also a very sad and dry way to approach the Bible. I cannot imagine approaching the story of God coming to us over and over and we rejecting God's love, but God's love never waning until finally God comes in Jesus Christ. And even though we reject, God still loves us. I cannot imagine feeling forced to find some theological construct on every page, looking through that filter and not just living into the story, finding God there, and which character is me, most me at the moment. Let the stories in the Bible speak to you. That way the Bible is alive because God is in it, and the Holy Spirit is real. And I can find myself in it, and maybe in a different place tomorrow. Am I the Pharisee today, or am I the wretch in the ditch? Am I Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration trying to stay there on the mountaintop and not go down into Jerusalem? Or am I Judas betraying Jesus for money? Or are you Ruth or Naomi or Lydia or the widow who gave all that she had into the temple collection? It is better to read the Bible without a lens or filter and let the living story speak to you now. I find that it speaks better when I let it speak to where I am. And just as Paul was trying to speak to the Corinthians where they were,
That's what it's about. I guess I would first say, take it personally before you take it seriously. Serious will come later, after you find yourself in God's story. It unfolds over time and means more as you grow. And John Wesley wrote something along these lines to explain what can happen and how God works in more than one way. John Wesley wrote in one of his sermons, "All experience as well as Scripture show this salvation to be both instantaneous and gradual. It begins the moment we are justified in the holy, humble, gentle, patient love of God and man. It gradually increases from that moment as a grain of mustard seed, which at first is the least of all seeds, but afterwards puts forth large branches and becomes a great tree. Till in another instant the heart is cleansed from all sin and filled with the pure love to God and man. But even that love increases more and more, till we grow up in all things into Him that is our head, till we attain the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Just as it says in Luke that Jesus grew in stature and in favor with God and man, so do we. So does the church. And as Jesus came into the world to show God's love, Jesus in the Gospel of John says, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." And so we too are sent. We are sent to show God's love. Now that's the end of the story, or maybe the beginning, depending upon who you are. We are sent as God's physical presence in the world, continuing Jesus' ministry, God's Spirit guiding and empowering us as we go. The story is still being written, you see. And now it includes you and me. Amen. Please stand.
go out and serve someone. Go out and serve. Someone needs you today. What you have to give will be helpful to someone. We pray God will open our eyes to needs around us. We will look for ways to be helpful. Go in the name of Jesus Christ who sends us. Speak a healing word. Do a caring deed. God strengthens the powerless and helps the weak. God's power will be in you when you pray. We shall run and not be weary. We serve in the strength of God. Amen.